This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
Until yesterday afternoon, probably against all odds, New York City had enjoyed 16 years without anyone being killed by Islamist violence. Could this latest bloodshed have been prevented with different law enforcement practices? You hate to ask that question, but it arises in this case because in 2005, the NYPD created a report, Radicalization in the West, the Homegrown Threat, it was called, and it laid out how U.S. Muslims could become radicalized. But that guide was subsequently denounced as Islamophobic. The de Blasio administration purged it in 2016 in response to a lawsuit by, you'll be surprised, the ACLU. Patrick Dunleavy is a former Deputy Inspector General of New York. He's the author of The Fertile Soil of Jihad, and he joins us tonight. Patrick, thanks for coming on.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks for having me, Tucker.
So the original, I mean, New York is famous for having a very serious kind of world-class, literally, police department, and they took this threat seriously after the two World Trade Center bombings, obviously. They produced this report. What does it mean that the de Blasio administration jettisoned it?
Well, what they basically did is they caved into political correctness. Nobody was looking at the fact that what the NYPD was doing was normal police practices when it came to investigating crime. And if we're going to say that terrorism is a crime, which obviously we've just charged this individual in federal court and we've given him Miranda rights, then there are certain police practices that are normal, surveillance, undercover operatives, knowing the neighborhood that to which you're going to go. For instance, if you're going to look for a clean shirt for your show tomorrow, you're probably going to go to your closet or to your dresser. You're not going to go to the refrigerator. In the same way, if I'm looking for an organized crime figure from the mafia, I'm probably going to go to an Italian neighborhood. So now if we're looking for radical Islamic terrorists, we should probably be going to predominantly Muslim neighborhoods. That would just be common police practices.
Of course it would. So what about that changed under de Blasio?
Well, there were complaints made by not just the ACLU, but certain Muslim activist groups like the Council on American Islamic Relations and other groups that said that we were profiling, that it was unfair, that we ought not to do it. This had never been happening before. And instead of actually showing that it was a normal police practice to do these things, they just caved in. It was like throwing up the white flag and saying, oh, no, we don't want it. We want to be perfectly polite. We don't want to offend anybody.
You know, the thing that comes to mind here, Scott, is that you get people that, you know, like CARE and other organizations that say, hey, you're profiling. But then where is the pressure coming back on them saying, look, we acquiesced. We did it your way. And look what's happening. I mean, and of course, you already have a situation with de Blasio. You know where he's coming from. He's an open borders guy. I mean, he's, you know, and this is there. So he's trying to reconcile his own philosophy with this political correctness. And meanwhile, he's got people in his city dying because of the policies that he supports.
Well, I think he's also going to have a little bit of trouble because Imam Tawhidi.
Yes. Yeah, you got to read. You got to read this. Listen to this, ladies and gentlemen. What do you got?
He's a prominent Islamic reformer. Imam Muhammad Tawhidi claims he repeatedly warned New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio. He tweeted out yesterday about NYC terrorist attacks. I personally sent letters to Mayor de Blasio online and in person about terrorist breeding in New York City. He did nothing. He goes on to say, in 2016, I told Mayor de Blasio that I was in New York City. And I noticed some radical centers. I was willing to point out serious cases. I was ignored. Fact, in the last 2 years, de Blasio has spent all of his energy and resources in trying to bring down President Trump and not Islamic extremists. The Islamic world is infested with extremists. Whoever denies this is either unaware of what's going on or simply a benefiting politician.
You know, listen to a local imam right here. This is Bill Martinez. We're live at 5 minutes after the top of the hour. We've got more. Liz Peek coming up next right here. Stay with us.
Kiyosaki, Rogers, and Schiff all concur there's an economic calamity that'll be facing this country. My question to you is, do you know when and are you prepared? Most people don't, but my friends over at Republic Monetary Exchange have been leading experts in precious metals to help you offset the coming economic collapse. Right now, for a limited time, they have a free book called The 10 Reasons You Should Own Gold. You simply need to give them a call at 888-772-2929 to get that in your hands. Do not allow the insiders to do what they did to you in 2008, putting your IRAs, 401ks, and savings in jeopardy. You need this book, and you need it now. The 10 Reasons You Should Own Gold. Call 888-772-2929. That's 888-772-2929. There's a reason that the largest investment banking company in the world, J.P. Morgan, just purchased another 50 million ounces of silver. This free book will explain it. 888-772-2929.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
You better stop me. What's that sound? Everybody look what's going on.
It is 6 minutes after the top of the hour. Bill Martinez here. Good to have you along with us, sharing a part of your day. It is All Souls Day around the country, and Cookie Monster Day. What else? Look for Circles. How do they come up with some of these things? Look for Circles Day. I'm sure there's some, you know, involved individuals that said, look, we need to look for circles, and we're going to commemorate a day to really focus on circles. I guess. National Men Make Dinner Day. Scott, you do this every day. I mean, you know, so every day it's National Men Make Dinner Day. And
no comment. You're going to get me in trouble.
Me get you in trouble? You know, there's no deal. Oh, I like this one, too.
I told you that in confidence.
No. Oh, you did. Okay. Yeah, it's probably like your birthday. I keep forgetting. Practice being psychic day. Where's Kreskin when we need him? You know, this practice thing, it's like, they call, the practice of medicine. That's scary, really, when you think about it. I mean, you don't have it down. You just need to practice this. Well, we got to bring Liz Peek on. Maybe she can save the day here for us. Liz going, I'm hanging up. I don't want anything to do with this. I mean, you know, Men Make Dinner Day. You know, this is crazy. It's Liz, of course, columnist for FoxNews.com and the Physical Times. Miss Liz, how are we doing?
I am terrific. Thank you. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing great. You're there in New York with all this wackiness. What a crazy week for you. I thought about this when all this broke out, and you're right there. And, of course, I'll be in the city in three, four weeks, I guess, is when I'm coming in myself. But, wow, what a week for New Yorkers, huh?
Well, yes, oddly, and actually I think so disturbingly, life goes on. And I don't mean that we should all stop and cower in our doorsteps at all, but it is a little disturbing to me that these events have become now kind of routine. And yes, there's been a lot of media coverage of it, but the reality is the day it happened, not that many blocks away, a Halloween parade went off as scheduled. That night people went out to dinner. I mean, it's sort of, you know, these are tragedies, and
yes.
Obviously 8 people isn't as terrible as 50, and it's not as bad as 200, but these are horrible things that are happening to completely innocent people, and I'm sort of, I don't know, I'm really, until talking to you, I haven't really realized how angry I am, in a sense, that we are becoming inured to it. The stock market doesn't pay attention to it. The government does. I mean, to his credit, Donald Trump may have the wrong ideas. I don't know. We'll see, but at least he's offended by it. And that offendedness is being viewed by the likes of Chuck Schumer as politicizing. No, he's not politicizing. He's trying to come up with answers and do something. I mean,
Yeah, you guys have had over 10 years. You've seen that this diversity program is not good. It's creating all kinds of problems. You know, seemed like a good idea at the time, but you know, why can't you look at it and see it for what it is and what this has come out to be? It's almost like we're playing, you know, immigration roulette here, Liz.
Well, I think that's right. I mean, I can't remember exactly. I think I understand the origins of why they did this diversity program, but they did it for a purpose that may have been sound, but they did it in such a way that clearly isn't very sound, in the sense that, you know, we really haven't got enough information probably about a number of the people who are coming into the country. And here's the problem. I mean, 50,000 amongst the total number of immigrants into the United States every year is not a huge number. But the reality is all you need is one. All you need is five to create a problem. But let me tell you something, Bill, because I actually had an experience related to this event in New York that is sort of telling. Mm. Some years ago, and it wasn't 10 years ago, it was like 4 years ago maybe, I am a supporter of what's called the Police Foundation in New York City. It's a foundation that raises money privately for things that the police department doesn't have enough money to fund, astonishingly. Mm-hmm. For example, after 9/11, they sent about 20 police officers overseas to main capitals like Riyadh and also Paris and other cities to be in touch with, involved with, security and intelligence operations in those countries that might be fruitful. Mm-hmm. And anyway, the foundation, to reward donors, allows you to get an insight into the police activities here. And I spent a day with the intelligence unit, which included, by the way, at that time, hearing about the snooping operation that was taking place, which then became very controversial in Muslim communities, a program that you have heard, I'm sure, about and that was challenged by the ACLU and was dropped. But what they were doing was basically sending undercover cops into these neighborhoods and mosques where radicalization seemed possible. And you've heard, I'm sure, the media say and liberals say it accomplished nothing. We never found anything, and so it was disbanded. That is not true, because the day I spent, we interviewed an undercover guy who had been, by the way, in Paterson, New Jersey, where this guy presumably was radicalized, at that mosque, and he had discovered a bomb plot, which he then had revealed. And so this guy was no longer undercover. He had to come out to testify about this. But don't let anyone tell you that having an ear to the ground in these mosques, in these communities, doesn't help know what's going on. Of course it does.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, and I mean, it offends me, honestly, that you have something like this happen. It's sort of like, okay, well, no one could have prevented this. This is, you know, we never could have figured this out. Yeah, maybe someone could have. If someone had figured out that this guy was becoming a little more outspoken, a little harsher in his sentiments, gotten close to him, maybe this could have been prevented.
Mm-hmm. Well, there seems to be some indication of that, Liz. But again, in these communities, you know, they're, you know, I see nothing. I don't want to get involved. You know, this kind of deal is like San Bernardino all over again. The neighbor, he looks over the fence and goes, well, there's a lot of guns there, you know, and says nothing. So, and then you have a situation. Scott read a tweet from a local imam that says, hey, I've been trying to get this message to de Blasio. I've called him. He's ignored me. I sent him information that, you know, there's problems here in River City. This is from an imam. I mean, we're not talking an FBI undercover or anything like this. This is an imam himself, because, you know, the moderate Muslims, Liz, are realizing that, look at, they're freer here in the United States to practice their religion than back in their hometown. So they're like in America a whole lot. And these radicals who are coming in are, you know, spoiling things. And the rest of the moderate Muslims who continue to say, hey, don't mix us in with these radicals, with these guys that want to go and rent a truck and run people over or do a knife intifada in the United States. That's not us. Well, you know, the fact of the matter is right now it is you.
Yeah,
you know,
I agree with you.
Is your deal, and you need to be vigilant about it. And you know, CARE has all in the name of political correctness, and the ACLU have used political correctness as cover to allow us to be continue to be vulnerable on this. And I got to tell you, knowing New Yorkers the way I do, Liz, I am surprised that they're just not revolting in the street, but that they're shrugging and just going to their cocktail parties and thinking, well, it's okay, it didn't happen to me, so, life goes on.
I'm shocked.
I'm really shocked.
I think it's kind of horrifying. And yes, I agree, we shouldn't have canceled the parade. Frankly, they couldn't have at that point because
right.
there were too many people gathered.
Well, Liz, we got to pause real quick.
Okay.
We're going to be right back with more. Liz Peek, stay with us, America.
Chad here, owner of Infidel Body Armor. With the shooting in Vegas, there will be calls to ban guns and body armor. You can expect prices to rise dramatically in the coming weeks as gun grabbers try to outlaw your freedom. If you don't have your armor kit yet, you are behind the curve. Don't miss your window of opportunity. Go to InfidelBodyArmor.com and click on Specials. That's InfidelBodyArmor.com.
When you have sleep apnea, traveling can be a real drag because you have to drag your big, bulky home CPAP device with you everywhere you go. But not anymore. Now you can travel easily and sleep comfortably anywhere thanks to Transcend, the world's very first mini CPAP. And right now, you can try Transcend absolutely risk-free for 10 restful nights. So call now, 1-800-962-5369. Our smallest and most advanced portable design ever, Transcend is as small as a soda can and weighs less than a pound. You can even add a battery that's as tiny as a deck of cards. Transcend is so incredibly small and light, you can easily fit it in your briefcase or purse to use anywhere you go. It's FAA compliant too, so you can even sleep comfortably while flying. Now you can enjoy the freedom to sleep comfortably anywhere. But don't delay. To receive your 10-night in-home trial, call minicpap.com now. 1-800-962-5369. Again, that's 1-800-962-5369.
Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but soon you'll need a plan and place to survive. Forget bunkers. You're not a live-underground gopher. You need Survivalist Camps, the ultimate fully functional, off-the-grid mobile survival bug-out house that's well-equipped and custom-built to outlast any other RV or trailer. Bold statement, you bet. See them now at survivalistcamps.com. That's survivalistcamps.com. Trust your family's survival to survivalistcamps.com.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
Sometimes life can be a pain in the neck, or back, or shoulder. Long distance travel or long hours in front of a computer can take its toll on your body. Why take another pill? Treat your aches and pains with Sunshine Pillows. Microwavable heat wraps, heatable neck pillows, and extra large body heating wraps. Sunshine Pillows and wraps are designed better for perfect support where and when you need it, even while driving. Sunshine Pillows are designed with your comfort in mind, will not burn you, and will stay balanced on your body to provide soothing hot or cold therapy to treat temporary or chronic pain. And the best part, Sunshine Pillows start at just $20. Join hundreds of our happy customers and see why Sunshine Pillows has a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy. Click sunshine-pillows.com and take the Sunshine Pillow Challenge. That's sunshine-pillows.com.
Fully cooked, ready to eat bacon. I'm talking thick, meaty, center cut, presidential bacon. Savory and delicious. I buy some, I use some, I store some. Awesome. No refrigeration needed with a 10-year shelf life. NASA pack technology. Bacon. Fully cooked, fully hydrated, ready to eat right from the pack bacon. Or warm and served. Life-saving, ready to eat bacon. 10-year shelf life bacon. Ships free at fullycookedbacon.com. Fullycookedbacon.com.
You're listening to Bill Martinez Live.
I want
It's always a great day here at Bill Martinez Live.
Hey, thanks for sharing a part of your day with me. Bill Martinez here at 19 minutes after the top of the hour. Just the way you like us. Fresh every day, Monday through Friday, 9 to noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific. Our conversation with Liz Peek continues. Liz, you know, we were talking off air, and I had read this as well, that the terrorist name translates to Sword of Allah. And this was reported, I'm reading an article in the Daily Caller. You know, because when you first read this, you think, wait a minute, his name translates to Sword of Allah, and we say, oh, yeah, come on in, you know, come to America, you know, it's okay. We don't even know what this means. And, you know, we get the idea, Allahu Akbar, you know, okay, well, that's kind of a, you know, that's a dog whistle sound there, you know, so we're going to gather that much. But there's so much more about this religion and their mission that the everyday American does not understand, and you question whether or not even law enforcement or even our government officials who say, oh, let's just open the borders and let everybody in. We're going to do this diversity program, which, you know, I said to a couple people, I may have shared this with you, which to me amounts to a bit of like, you know, immigration roulette here. You know, you're just hoping you get somebody who is, you know, going to take advantage of the opportunity and add to the American way of life, not come here and do us harm.
Well, I was hearing probably on Fox News somebody talking about how the Israelis handle all this. And let's face it, they have about as good a self-protection apparatus in Israel as can be imagined, because they've had to have that. But what they do with immigration, and, you know, it takes some resources for sure, is they really sit down and talk to the person. They question them, and they ask them how they feel about various things, and they look for problems. We don't do that. I mean, you know, we require a high school graduation, you tell them, and a clean record, I guess. Uzbekistan and some of these countries are unbelievably corrupt. You can't tell me that you can't buy cleaned up records and papers for the price of a loaf of bread. That's a really harsh statement. It's probably not quite true, but I think
it's close.
Possible.
It might be close.
You know, so maybe we need to get a little more invested in who we're letting into our countries, which is why I think it's Tom Cotton and some other people are talking about reducing the numbers. You know what? I think most Americans are okay with that. Let's make sure that whoever is coming in, first of all, by the way, I totally applaud Donald Trump for advocating for a merit-based immigration system. I think that makes all the world sense. Let's ask people in who are smart, who are productive, who are ambitious, who want to take advantage not of America's welfare system, and hopefully there aren't many people coming to our country just for that, but who really want to make their way here. That is the immigration dream. And by the way, you know, I was at an event last night where somebody very notable who had come into this country as an immigrant mentioned immigration, didn't say anything about Trump. But, you know, in a New York ballroom, it's pretty clear that that's a little bit of a sort of, you know, yes, the immigration is important, and everyone applauded that. But why is it that there's this consistent determination not to separate legal and illegal immigration? No one is against legal immigration that is helpful to our country. But that should be the test, right?
Yeah,
is it helpful to the country?
Right. This is what has broken the system. They go, we have a broken immigration system. Well, let's go back. What broke it? Oh, you stopped following the law. Okay. Yeah, right.
Exactly.
And, you know,
that's exactly right. That is exactly right. We have 11 million or whatever the number is, people in the country who are undocumented. So we're spending all this time figuring out what to do about those. And you and I have talked about this. I have a very clear plan what should be done about them, which is give them a chance at legal status, but not citizenship, and make some other changes that would deter newcomers. That's the big thing. Let's stop enticing people across the border with birthright citizenship, for example.
Exactly.
That's a disaster.
Well, this anchor baby deal, and then here recently, on the other side, we had this ridiculous thing last week. I mean, I say ridiculous, and that's the understatement of this 17-year-old immigrant, not even an immigrant. She comes here from Central America. She's an illegal, and she comes here, and somehow we think it's okay to abort her child.
Yeah, I don't get that at all.
What kind of liability does that open? You know, forget about all the other moral you know, implications. But, you know, what happens down the road if the father unit says, hey, look, you killed my kid. I want reparation. You owe me. You killed my kid or something or whatever. She changes her mind. I mean, you know, she's not even a citizen. And we do this on behalf of the American. Are you kidding me? And the other thing, Liz, that, you know, I want to talk about regarding this whole immigration confusion situation is the fact that, you know, we have walked away. We've stepped away from immigration policies that work for this country over the years. And we're letting people come in. And you know, going back to what you said about Israel, what Israel does when they investigate, they actually listen to what people say. And, you know, if they say to you, they say, well, we hate Israel. We want every Jew dead. Sorry, you're out of the line. You know, here they come to us and they say, okay, I'm the sword of Allah. I want to kill you. Death to the infidels. And we go, hey, do you want breakfast, lunch, and dinner, too?
It's disheartening because at least up until now, there's been very little appetite for reforming these policies. All the attention and energy has been placed on what we do about our illegal population, as you point out, and the wrangling. Basically, Democrats want all those people to have a shot at citizenship because they will turn the tide politically in many states. There's no question about it.
Right.
And, you know, that's why, yes, they should have legal status, but no, they should never be allowed to vote. The next generation can vote because they've been born here and they will become U.S. citizens. Mm-hmm. But there should be some penalty and some reckoning for having broken U.S. laws. Unfortunately, you know, like so many other things in our country, the positions on these things are so intractable, people aren't even talking about it anymore.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, until your point that you made earlier in the first segment, until we're able to look at those eight people that were run over in New York as our brothers and sisters, truly, that there are family members that are getting run over like this, and our family members who were shot up in Orlando, and our family members who were killed in San Bernardino, and on, until we make that transition and own these statistics and go beyond the statistics and see that these are real lives, real people, real Americans that are being killed because of these stupid policies. You know, the Beltway and Congress is going to continue to think the way they do and continue to give us more of the same policies.
I think that's exactly right. And you know what? Again, Trump may not have the best way of forwarding his message, but the truth is at least he's angry about it. And that, to me, is worth a lot.
I think the system needs a shock. And Donald Trump is a shock because it's almost like we've been going on for so long this way. And this is, I got to tell you, Liz, in my travels in Main Street America, you talk to these people and they're cheering this president on. You know, and of course all the politicals, oh, this is red meat. This is dog whistles. This is one deal another. No, this is like common sense. This is what every day, you know, if you sat down and went to Main Street America in flyover country and you sat down and just talked to everyday Americans, you know, they just cannot believe the idiocy that's taken place.
Yeah, no, I know it. And it is interesting. Every now and then, the New York Times or somebody will send out a reporter to what they call flyover country, and they will interview some people. And they come back really kind of, you can tell, they're kind of shaken because these people are not hating Donald Trump.
No,
the poll numbers may reflect his lack of popularity, but they, and I think a lot of people are somewhat shaken by his demeanor. But they like what he's trying to do.
Exactly. Well, you know, and some of these elites think, well, you know, it's because the gene pool there in the flyover country is so limited. That's why those knuckleheads think the way they do. But meanwhile, they're surviving and they're not about to allow some mosque to come in and take over their, you know, their downtown areas and overrun them. Although there have been some areas that is the case. And just like in Paris, America does have a growing number of no-go zones that's taken place because of stuff just like this, like what we're talking about. About Liz. Well, Liz, as always, appreciate you being with us. Remind everybody how they can be in touch with you.
I'd love to have people follow me on Twitter. Liz Peek, it's one word, LizPeek. And Bill, it's always a pleasure being with you. Thank you.
National Hospice and Palliative Care Organization. When a person is facing the difficult challenges that come with advanced illness, their pets can play a critical role in providing comfort in their final moments. Unfortunately, as families deal with the grief of illness and the loss of a loved one, those beloved pets may be overlooked or treated as an afterthought. Pet Peace of Mind is an organization that helps hospice and palliative care patients keep and care for their pets. Dr. Mia Carey, veterinarian and Pet Peace of Mind board member.
For many of us, our pets are like members of the family. In difficult times, a pet can provide the same sense of comfort and calm that a human family member might. When a patient begins hospice or palliative care, it can be challenging to make sure all of their pet's needs are met. Pet Peace of Mind allows patients to make their end-of-life journey gracefully with their loving pets right by their side.
For more information or to make a donation, please visit petpeaceofmind.org.
It's been said, any society is only 3 missed meals away from chaos. Those times may be near. Think about it. Our country faces multiple terrorist threats and aggressions from Russia and North Korea. Social unrest and violent marches yet again may lead to looting of stores and city shutdowns. And a crumbling infrastructure leaves our power grid vulnerable to long-term outages from a single cyber attack. When the chaos from any one of these threats arises, the government knows it can't provide during a widespread national emergency. That's why you need your own plan for self-reliance. That's where My Patriot Supply comes in. Get a 4-week survival food supply for only $99. That includes breakfast, lunches, and dinners. Order online at preparewithgcn.com. $99 for 4 weeks of survival food that tastes like homemade cooking and lasts up to 25 years from My Patriot Supply. Get your kits today at preparewithgcn.com. Free shipping is included. Preparewithgcn.com.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
Listening to Bill Martinez live.
Thank you for loving and setting me free. Thank you for giving your life just for me.
It's always a great day here at Bill Martinez live.
And what makes it greater is that you've joined us. Thank you, America. 28 minutes before the top of the hour. Being a cancer survivor, whenever there is a cancer campaign that comes along, let me tell you, I am all for it. Anything we can do to kick cancer in the butt once and for all, I am there. Count me in. And this is why I'm happy to have CVS represented here this morning. CVS Health recently launched the 4th consecutive in-store fundraising campaign at locations nationwide to benefit Stand Up to Cancer. You may see the acronym SU2C, that's Stand Up to Cancer, and its ongoing efforts to accelerate the pace of cancer research. More than $15 million for Stand Up to Cancer has been raised by CVS since 2014, and these critical funds have helped Stand Up to Cancer to develop new effective treatments such as the immunotherapy, CAR-T therapy, which was recently approved by the FDA for a treatment of a type of pediatric leukemia known as acute lymphoblastic leukemia. I'm having all kinds of fun reading these words here because, you know, what happens with a lot of cancer terms is you don't know them going in, but if it happens to you, you not only know them, but you even know how to spell them. Rusty Robertson and Karen Taphorn joins us. Rusty is the co-founder and member of the Stand Up to Cancer Council of Founders and Advisors, and Karen Taphorn, like yours truly, is a survivor, although she's a survivor ambassador for Stand Up to Cancer. Rusty, Karen, welcome to Bill Martinez Live.
Thanks, Bill. Thank you, Bill.
Well, Rusty, you know, that's the thing. You know, the interesting thing is that about all these cancer terms, you may have never heard them before, but then when you get diagnosed, you hear it for the first time, and then, you know, shortly as you go through, you know, the therapy and everything, you not only know it, but you know how to spell it. Kind of amazing, huh?
Well, you know, one of the things that Stand Up to Cancer really wants to do on our site, which is obviously standuptocancer.org, is educate people. Educate people in layman terms, not just scientific. The nine women you know that started this that are here in Los Angeles, except for Katie Couric on the East Coast.
Yes.
But, you know, we've become de facto scientists ourselves as we do this. But what you were just talking about actually is part of five new treatments that were approved by the FDA, and everybody out there needs to know that it normally takes 10 to 15 years to get approvals, but Stand Up has in less than 10 years five new treatments secured FDA approvals, which is really extraordinary.
Yeah, this is absolutely awesome. As the Survivor Ambassador, Karen, what do you see happening here?
You know, Bill, this is absolutely amazing and you're absolutely right. When you're thrown into the world of cancer, suddenly this becomes your life and you learn every aspect of it. And until that happens, it's just kind of a sideline. I didn't know half the words or what they meant until it hit me, including immunotherapy, which was what the trial that I was on. Now that word is becoming commonplace in the cancer world, and that's because of the clinical trials and the work that Stand Up to Cancer does.
Well, Rusty, Stand Up to Cancer has done a great job. You've been the tip of the spear on this and raising $15 million. Tell our audience more about this CVS fundraising campaign to support Stand Up to Cancer.
You know, actually, it's just CVS has raised $15 million. You know, we've got Major League Baseball, MasterCard, American Airlines. We've been so blessed.
Yes.
Stand Up to Cancer was lucky that 4 years ago, CVS Pharmacy came along and said, we want to support your innovative, groundbreaking research. We said, what can we do to reach, you know, your customers in 7,700 stores? And they said, be a part of what we call the pin pad. The pin pad is right when you check out. You look to either your right or your left, and you're going to see a pin pad, and it'll pop up between now and November 19th. It'll say, would you like to donate to Stand Up to Cancer $1 or $3? Of course, you can give more.
Yes.
But it's really worked out fantastically because it allows us to have the opportunity to remind everybody who we are. And then hopefully people will go to our site and learn how innovative and wonderful our treatments are.
Karen, you were talking a little bit earlier about the treatment, how you've been impacted, but I want to, you know, revisit this just a little bit more, if you can explain how Stand Up to Cancer directly impacted your treatment.
Absolutely. But they didn't just impact it, Bill. They saved my life. When I was diagnosed, I had 24 tumors in my lungs, and I was diagnosed with stage 4 melanoma, and there wasn't a lot of options for me. My doctor was the one who suggested I look into a clinical trial, and at the time I had no idea that it was funded by Stand Up to Cancer. I entered that trial, and within less than 12 months, those tumors were gone.
Wow.
And the trial worked, and I continue to be cancer-free. And this is all in part due to the research that Stand Up to Cancer does. I wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for that trial.
You know, it is amazing, Karen, in your story. And, you know, when you have people who come alongside and join your team to survive and they're there at the finish line and to enjoy and share the victory, not only are you grateful for them, but you can't help but tell other people about what they did for you, right?
Absolutely right. I would tell this story 1,000 times every day of my life because it did directly impact me. It saved me. And I think there's so many people that are afraid of trials or don't understand them, and they need to be aware that the myths that go with them are most of them are false, and that maybe a trial could be a first option instead of a last.
Right. And for you, I mean, you're dealing with stage 4 cancer. I mean, not many people survive stage 4 cancer, Karen.
No, no, it's there's only one step to go after that.
Right, exactly.
I'm so fortunate that this worked. And again, like back in 2011, when I said the word immunotherapy, nobody knew what that was. Mm-hmm. Now every time you turn a page in a magazine, you hear about it. And that's because of the research and the trials that made this FDA approved.
Exactly. Well, speaking of which, Rusty, how does CVS support Stand Up to Cancer's innovative research and clinical trials, you know, like they did for Karen to, you know, help them?
Well, CVS Pharmacy, this in-store campaign, is what's raising the funds. I mean, the message here is that we need to educate everybody that's listening that 5% of the adults in the United States that are diagnosed with cancer participate in clinical trials. Mm-hmm. Now, clinical trials, and this is what CVS is doing, they're helping us educate the public. That's where you're going to get your most innovative treatment. That's where you're going to get the research that's going to help the scientists help future patients. That's where you're going to get the newest therapies. So if you go to standuptocancer.org, you know, this is all about research. And the research is all about CVS helping us raise the money for research.
Mm-hmm.
So it's this collaborative. You know, our dream teams are collaborative. For the first time, we broke down the silos. Doctors and oncologists and scientists and research are all sharing.
Mm-hmm.
Now we also have our donors that are sharing. I mean, it's all part of the big circle of getting rid of this disease.
Exactly.
And it starts with everybody listening and going in and donating.
And like you said at the onset, I really hope and pray our listeners are getting this, is that it starts with education, doesn't it, Rusty?
Yes.
I mean, this all leads, all these roads lead to us having a higher awareness of what's going on and being educated about cancer. It doesn't have to kick our butts anymore. We can kick cancer in the butt, huh?
That's exactly what we're doing. We're not only kicking its butt, but we're telling people how to do it, and then we want to hear from them and listen to how they've done it.
Exactly.
We must educate people to own their own cancer, to read about it. Go to standuptocancer.org. One of the things we do is educating people to understand this disease. And as we learn, we want to share it. So there's nothing more than having people feel like they are fighting with us.
Well, congratulations for all the good work and the faithful work, Rusty Robertson, Karen Taphorn. Go to CVS, participate, stand up to cancer, and join the fight with us.
This report is brought to you by Sears. Fall is here, and that means it's the perfect time to get your home ready for the colder months as well as for the holidays. Just like you maintain your car, you need to maintain your home appliances and systems. As the nation's number one provider of appliance services, Sears Home Services suggests routine maintenance to help make sure your appliances run smoothly. Chip Wade, celebrity home designer and
expert. Now I got a break, right?
Help avoid breakdowns during the busy holiday season by maintaining your appliances properly. Clean your refrigerator's condenser coils twice a year, as dirty coils can lead to expensive repairs and cause the fridge to run inefficiently. As the weather gets colder, the last thing you want is for your heating system to conk out. Avoid this issue by inspecting the air filters in your furnace monthly during the fall and winter, and replace it if it's dirty.
Purchase needed maintenance parts via SearsPartsDirect.com. Or, if you prefer, do it for me, visit SearsHomeServices.com/fall. There, you can schedule home services and learn about seasonal offerings. To learn more, visit SearsHomeServices.com/fall.
Attention to anybody of any age who takes any prescription medications. How would you like to save up to 85% on almost every prescription drug you're currently buying at your local pharmacy? We're talking about saving you real money on most of the top prescription drugs. Up to 85% savings. Asthma medications, you can save up to 85%. High cholesterol and high blood pressure meds, save up to 85%. And many, many more. This is not a hard-to-use discount card. These are real savings on prescription meds delivered to your door in days. We have expert prescription consultants to help you right now. It's a free service. So call now and learn how you can save up to 85% on most prescription drugs.
Call now, 800-362-9337, 800-362-9337, 800-362-9337. That's 800-362-9337.
It's a no-brainer. A Big Berkey water filter is the one you need, period. You need a water filter that removes chlorine, fluoride, pharmaceuticals, BPA, and other endocrine disruptors, pesticides, bacteria, viruses, and much more, right? And does it all at only 2 cents per gallon. Get the original and most trusted name in gravity water filtration, Big Berkey. And now GCN listeners receive 5% off ceramic filter systems using code GCN. Call or click 1-877-99-BERKEY or BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Hello, Mr. Anderson. The NSA has noticed how much time you spend on conservative news sites. We have no choice but to consider you a domestic terrorist.
Tired of your internet activity being monitored by Big Brother? Get VirtualShield.com, the world's easiest-to-use virtual private network. Browse the web anonymously, leaving pesky advertisers and spies in the dust. Get started today at VirtualShield.com. Take advantage of our free 30-day trial. VirtualShield.com. You have the right to remain private.
It's always a great day here at Bill Martinez Live. What more could you want?
Welcome back, America. 14 minutes before the top of the hour. Bill Martinez here. As always, you can go to BillMartinezLive.com for all the information you need to know. And I'll tell you, we're coming up next. We got a real special guest for you. Dr. Julie Slattery is going to be joining us. We're going to be talking about her brand new book, Sex and the Single Girl, Sexuality, God's Truth versus the Cultural Chaos. As you know, we live in a sexually chaotic world where the standard is to be true to yourself and don't judge anyone else's choices. Young people's sexuality now includes sexual fluidity, gender confusion, social app hookups, and the elimination of sexual boundaries. And of course, I'm in California right now, and the governor has decided that, you know, God must have had something wrong when he said he created man and woman. Now the governor of California said there are three sexes, and I'm even surprised that he limited it to three, because I know there's California universities that offer as many as 26 different gender choices. Julie Slattery, it's no wonder that we're confused here.
Yeah, that is so true. I mean, we had questions and issues about sexuality in days past, but some of the very foundational things, such as gender, weren't in question like they are today. So it's a pretty crazy time, Bill.
Well, as you write, Dr. Slattery, girls are more likely now to make sexual decisions based on their cultural generation than based on their personal convictions. And you can actually, you know, say girls and boys, young women, young men, it's equal opportunity when it comes to, you know, comes to the gender, isn't it?
It is. And, you know, it's pretty much always been that way, where our cultural beliefs really influence us. And so when you look at the research coming out of places like Barna Group, they will, you know, say even with the older generation that generations tend to take on the beliefs morally and sexually of the people around them and are less likely to be impacted by what we believe in terms of our Christianity. So, so culture has a huge influence, and we're seeing that play out with younger Christians.
Well, no doubt about it, Julie. I can tell you, when I was growing up, it was always, you know, put in the context of, you know, if it had the good housekeeping seal of approval, you know, the court said you could have abortion. It was the good housekeeping seal of approval. You know, in the 70s, it was loving the one that you're with. And, you know, know, all the free love and the hippie culture and everything all came into play. And with it, I would say a lot of regret.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And what we're seeing today is, you know, again, just like a brand new narrative in terms of sexuality. It used to be, like you said, love the one you're with. Now sexuality is really all about identity. You know, discovering who I am, expressing who I am. And that's why we see really no sexual boundaries or no talk of ethics or morality related to sexuality, because it's just a matter of self-expression.
Well, Julie, isn't it on one hand a good thing that you are seeking your sexual identity, but if you do it in the context of the culture, which is, as you say, anything goes, that's very dangerous, because then you're doing it kind of without any connection with morality.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I think our sexuality is a huge part of who we are as people, mm-hmm. but it was never meant to be a core aspect of our identity. You know, it's supposed to be really an outgrowth of who God created us as relational people. And our sexuality is what is intended to draw us into intimate relationships and what celebrates intimate relationships within marriage. But when we get the cart before the horse and say, hey, I'm going to find myself through experimenting with sexuality and then decide things like what I believe about God and how I feel about people after making some of those decisions, that's where we get really messed up. And that's really where we are as a culture today, where sexuality is a driving force in terms of me exploring who I am as an individual.
Mm-hmm. Well, as you write, you know, sexuality does matter, but you have to know how it matters and how it connects with who you are as a human being, both spiritually and physically.
Absolutely. And, you know, I think that's, you know, so I've worked with women over the last 5 or 6 years related specifically to sexuality. What I've realized is that the culture is more convincing because the culture has a much more compelling narrative about sexuality. I just talked a minute ago about the narrative about sexuality and identity. Mm-hmm. And then when it comes from a Christian perspective, we tend to just give a list of rules. You know, mm-hmm. God doesn't approve of this. Don't do this. You know, save sex until marriage. And there's no meaning behind it. There's no narrative behind it. And so a lot of what I'm trying to do in Sex and the Single Girl and in our ministry as a whole is really to fill in the gaps of why sexuality matters, why it's really a very spiritual aspect of who we are, and why God does put restrictions on sexuality to protect the purpose of it.
When sexuality, as God has designed it, has been violated, It is a grand compromise, isn't it? And it leads to, I would suspect you would know this better than I, certainly, Dr. Slattery, that, it would be less fulfilling ultimately, especially with somebody that you wanted to matter so much, which would be your husband.
Yeah, and not only use the words less fulfilling, but in many ways even damaging. You know, it says, in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, that all sins are outside of the body, but sexual sins are sins against the body. And really what we're seeing come out in just sociological and psychological research is that the more often, particularly a woman, has sex with more sexual partners, this is impacting her emotional health. This is causing depression, poor self-esteem, suicidal ideation. And like you mentioned, when a woman does get married, she brings in all these memories from past partners. She can bring in a lot of shame and guilt. So we are seeing this kind of impact. And unfortunately, you know, in my field, in the psychological community, even with this research coming in, we continue to promote this idea that you can have sex with no strings attached, whereas the biological research is showing that's just not true.
Mm-hmm. Is it a violation of the marital bed then? I mean, even though it's not at that moment, but it's something you bring into the marriage bed?
You know, I don't know if I'd say it's a violation of the marriage bed because it's something that happens before. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not, I don't want to give somebody like, hey, you violated our marriage bed before we ever met.
Right.
But what it is, you used the word earlier, is a compromise.
Mm-hmm.
And if we're honest with ourselves, all of us at some level, either in body or mind, have compromised God's standard for holy sexuality. In our sinful nature, we struggle with all kinds of thoughts and temptations. We've made mistakes. And so every time that happens, yeah, we're taking something away from the fulfillment of what God designed sex to be.
Exactly.
And really that's why we have hope in Jesus, because mm-hmm. he's the one that came to restore us, and to bring redemption in the ways that we have compromised.
Well, the reason I say a violation of the marriage bed, and I understand that, you know, some people might look at it legalistically and, you know, claim something other than what God intended. But it's, you know, but again, you are in the great compromise here. You are violating God's perfect intent and his grand design. And if we see it for what it is, and, you know, maybe that causes us to turn to Christ, you know, for healing, to where, you know, as much as possible, purity could.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I love to use the phrase sexual integrity,
mm-hmm.
because again, so many people, even as you listen to this conversation, are in the place of feeling like I've really blown it in this area. My life is so messed up sexually because of what I'm doing or what I've done. And the idea of purity is like, man, I don't think I could ever be pure because of what I've already done. But when we look at the fact that God calls us to integrity, and integrity means that my whole life is consistent. So if I say I'm a follower of Jesus, then I want my sexuality to be consistent with that claim.
Exactly.
And through the power of the Holy Spirit and through the redemption of Jesus, I can get to a point with, regardless what my past was, that I say, you know, from this day forward, I'm going to pursue integrity
mm-hmm.
in what I look at and what I think about and the choices I make and how I act.
Mm-hmm. Again, remembering not so much what we've done, but all that he has done, and being the God that restores, right?
That's exactly true. He is the redeeming God. And you know, I think so often when we talk about sexuality in the church, people don't know how to find themselves in our conversations, you know, because we talk about God's holy design, and it is so holy.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the gospel says that all of us have fallen short of the glory of God.
Right.
You know, and for most of us, that includes our sexuality.
Mm-hmm.
And so the redemption story is that's why Jesus came, you know, to bring new life and to empower us by the Holy Spirit to live and make different choices.
Well, Julie Slattery, well, I tell you, we could be talking for a long time here, and we need to have you back because I think we're just barely touching on the topic here. Where can people go for more information?
We have a whole ministry called Authentic Intimacy, and the website is AuthenticIntimacy.com, and you'll find all kinds of resources there for follow-up.
Julie Slattery, Dr. Julie Slattery, is a widely known clinical psychologist, author, speaker, and broadcast media professional. Her commitment to biblical principles, relatable style, and quick wit has made her a highly sought-after speaker, and you can understand why in the short time that we've been able to have together. Dr. Slattery, again, congratulations on the book. We need to have you back to talk more about sex and the single girl. Thank you for being with us.
Thanks, Bill. I appreciate it.
Are you happy washing your hands with harsh chemicals? Are you happy doing laundry with detergents? Are you happy paying high prices? Find your happiness with Pure Soap. These all-natural, earth-friendly Pure Soaps are the very best you've ever used. Buy in bulk. Get a 12, 36, or 48-month supply. Or get items individually and still save big. You're getting soap products twice as good as what you're using now. Earth-friendly and natural soaps. Your family deserves the best. Happiness is 5starsoap.com. Why not put your money up the drain for a change? See them at 5starsoap.com or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog. Cal Bend Soap Company can save you thousands of dollars and give you good old-fashioned real soaps that are triple concentrated. Soaps made from vegetable and coconut oils. See their full selection of soaps at 5starsoap.com. That's FIVESTARSOAP.com or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog.
Frustrated?